good morning. Welcome back. Donna and Steve on My Talk 107.1 Everything Entertainment.
Give me a beat.
It's time to talk music.
I enjoy music.
With Donna Valentine.
Yee-haw!
And Steve Patterson.
You like Huey Lewis on the news?
This is the beat.
This Billie Eilish is just adorbs.
We love Billie.
She's now 19 years old, you know, and she came into a bunch of money because she's talented and successful. So she doesn't really know what things cost.
Sure. Yeah.
She did an interview with Vanity Fair. I mean, I would imagine that a kid getting a new apartment, for example, probably doesn't know how much shampoo costs, conditioner, you know, all the necessities that you take for granted.
Sure.
That mom and dad pay for. It's a lot of money. So she made a slight error while trying to order some cereal. She's told Vanity Fair, it's a really weird position I'm in. I feel kind of stupid because I'm like, I don't know how much Fruit Loops are. I tried to order one box of Fruit Loops and I was like, oh, yeah, sure, it's $35. She goes, I didn't know that that's expensive. And she said, I ordered 70 boxes. So what had happened was she thought she was ordering one. She ended up with like a package of 70 miniature boxes.
For 35, that's not a bad price.
No, for 35, 70. But it just got me to thinking, like, there's still a lot of stuff I don't know how much things cost. You know, if it's not something that you buy regularly, like if a friend says to me, hey, Cub is having a sale on chicken breast, 98 cents a pound.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means.
I don't either.
I don't know if that's a good deal or not. I have no idea.
I recently had somebody say, you know, the pork butt will go on sale for like $1 a pound. And I was like, huh? And as opposed to is it $30 a pound normally? Is it $8? I don't know what it costs.
Yeah, I have some blind spots like that. Like, I could tell you cereal is expensive, like, mind-bogglingly expensive.
Okay.
Yeah, it's, I said that, mind-bogglingly. No.
First of all, though, if you're going to say mind-bogglingly, don't say it in regards to cereal. I mean, I get it. It's a couple bucks more than you want it to be, but it's not mind-bogglingly expensive.
Why is it like, it's almost like $5 a box. That's a lot of money.
But if you break it down per use, you're probably, each bowl is about 50 to 75 cents. I bet 50 cents. I bet you get through 10 bowls of cereal. Is that not good enough for you? Mind-bogglingly.
Okay, and other things like cheese. Like,
bacon.
If you want to order
cheese.
Yes. I'm like, how much for this cheese? It's like eight something. That's a lot of money.
That's why, you know, I am no loyalist to any one grocery establishment. When I get my deli meat, as it were, from Target, They usually do, you buy 2 pounds of deli meat and you get a half pound of cheese for free.
Great.
Or at
deal.
Least that's what it was a couple years ago. I don't know if it's still going on, but then you can get your baby lace, your Swiss baby lace.
Right.
You can get your pepper yak. You can get your sharp cheddar, whatever you want.
I don't even know what that is. Sharp cheddar. Oh, sharp cheddar. Of course I do.
Sharp cheddar.
I gotcha.
Sharp cheddar.
Gotcha. Anyway, I thought it was a really cute story because I get it. I get it. If it's not something that you're used to purchasing, you're like, say what now?
Here's something I don't like to spend money on. Not that I bought one recently, but every time I look at the cost of a belt.
Right?
I'm like,
ridiculous.
Really? What are you doing, 20 to 30 bucks for this?
I agree.
That feels like a lot. For a belt?
I agree. Yeah, like those are, this might be a fun Facebook question, maybe tomorrow. Like, what is something you didn't realize cost that much?
More expensive than you thought.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll do this thing where I'll go to buy something routine, socks.
Yeah.
And then suddenly I find myself initially taken aback by the cost of whatever it is. It's like, oh, this is what you're charging for hoodies now? Well, maybe I don't need a hoodie. And then I'm like, I really, really kind of need a hoodie. Am I going to spend $24.99 for this zip-up jacket?
Oh, that's cheap, buddy.
Well, I
it
got...
Is? See, I don't know.
Yeah. I got a zip-up hoodie. Thank you guys
Where'd
for
Where'd you
even
get it, by
asking.
The way? I need one. I need
Thank
right
you
one.
For asking.
Hey!
I got it at Costco.
Great prices.
And I believe that when I got it, it was $12.97, and I was at Costco on Friday to get meats, and I saw it for $6.97.
Wow.
It's Sherpa-lined. It's a great thick...
Oh, really?
It's a great thick zip-up hoodie for if you're going to stand in the garage for a little bit. Or, you know, it's not a thin one. It's thick and warm and looks great.
I like the kind that have the thermal inside.
The thermal. Sure, sure. You know, I went to, when I was at Costco, and I'm glad we're talking about this during the beat.
When I was thinking that same thing.
When I was, it all started with Billie Eilish not knowing how much cereal cost. When I was at Costco, I, for one of the first times ever, just bought the things I went there for, didn't buy anything else, got out for under $65, wow. Which for me at Costco is incredible. But I walked through the clothing and I thought, oh, I want a big oversized flannel button up that I can wear out when I'm smoking meats in the garage. I want all these. And I'm looking at all of them and there's incredible prices. Incredible.
Yeah.
It's a loss leader for them. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
They know their meats are less expensive, but they're in the back of the store, and so they know that you're going to have to zigzag your way out.
Yes.
And you're going to have a cart full of stuff by the end.
Yes, yeah, on your way.
They
there.
Lose money gonna, on the gonna, meat, and they make money on the goldfish.
You pick up a hardcover book, you know, some cheese, some
hardcover
soup.
Hardcover book, you're right. They do have a lot of hardcover
right,
books, don't
right
they?
Right before the food.
Yes.
Right past the, be one of the right only places the selling hardcover books. Not a lot of hardcovers around. Most people, paperback. But they have the big hardcover books.
I've been looking for the Seinfeld music for the entire segment. With you. I can't find it anywhere.
Oh, Lord. God, well, anyway. Listen, we had other music stories to get to, but...
Do we have time? Oh, we don't.
No, we're out of time here.
All right.
Oh, now, this is going to be great. I love it, A, when Donna puts any story in regarding money. We were talking about hypothetical financial scenarios earlier. How much would it cost you to blank?
You're going to love this.
This has to do with Fauci. How much he makes, which I don't know the answer to this, and how much some other federal employees make. We'll do this as a guessing game.
Yes, I love it. We'll do higher, lower.
Great, and these always end up being depressing for the rest of us. That's when we return. It's the Donna and Steve Show on My Talk.
Hey, we have a sponsor for the Donna and Steve podcast. It's Chill Boys.
I love my Chill Boys. These are the most comfortable pair of underwear boxer briefs that I have ever worn in my life. The bamboo material, super, super soft, really cool as well. Let me speak to the waistband, though, for a moment. In most men's underwear, when you wear the waistband, it folds down as though it is submitting to your roll of fat, or mine in this case, that is forcing it down. But guess what? My Chill Boys underwear do not do that at all. The waistband stays where it should, which makes me feel more comfortable longer.
Also, no wedgies, no chafing, yes. Odor. It's because that bamboo material has natural antibacterial properties. It's so cool. It's great for biking, hiking, golfing. I sent a couple of pairs to a friend of mine who refs hockey, and he sent me a text thanking me and telling me how comfortable they are, especially the performance boxers.
You sent underwear to a guy?
Look at the time.
Isn't he married? He's a married man we're talking about. Thing.
Yes, it's my best friend's husband.
All right, we'll get into that weird story a little bit later on. You can find out more at chillboys.com. Chill Boys, comfort where it counts.
Welcome back. Donna and Steve on My Talk
107.1.
Everything Entertainment.
1994, I bet this song came out.
You think it's that late?
I think it's 94 or 95.
Great song. I wish we had more from him like that.
Kissed by a rose seal. I'm going to say 94.
Kiss from a rose.
And 94.
Wow, good job, Steve.
There's a couple years of my childhood. 94 really stands out.
And 84 is my year. 84 to 86, 88. The 80s. You're a 90s kid.
I'm a child of the 90s.
Dr. Fauci says that wearing two masks is better than one.
Two masks?
Yeah, well, now we've got this new Morphe thing. this new COVID Morphe thing.
This isn't going to work. You have enough trouble getting people to wear one mask.
I know.
People aren't going to start double masking
up. The CDC has yet to recommend that, but... Okay. The poet, Amanda Gorman, who was
at the inauguration.
She had two masks, and it looks like people are picking up on that being a good idea. He basically said, if you have a physical covering with one layer and you put another layer on it, it just makes common sense that it would be more effective. So
sure, but then, may I please?
The floor is yours.
Thank you. First of all, Dr. Fauci, I really respect you for all of your wonderful work, and we thank you for your leadership in the midst of this unforeseen pandemic. Although, may I just bring up one point? Wouldn't three make more sense than two?
Yes.
Wouldn't four make more sense than three?
Yes.
So just to say it's common sense.
Someone asked him, would it make sense for us to be double masking? And he said, well, yeah, it's common sense that you're going to have more protection. I think the question was, will we be more protected? And he said, well, common sense, yes. The more layers you have, the more protection you have.
Do you remember at the beginning of the pandemic? And I get it. It's a novel coronavirus, so there's much to be learned, right?
Yes.
But I saw Trey Kennedy, who I've told you about on Instagram before, does some really funny videos. He did the 5 stages of masks, I believe is what the post was. He did this last week. And it's very funny. It really chronicles how we have all felt about masks and what we've been told. But it starts with the Surgeon General tweeting out early in the pandemic, please stop buying masks. They are ineffective in fighting against the transmission of COVID-19. That was the early tweet, the recommendation that we got from the Surgeon General.
Mm-hmm.
My, how things have changed.
I know. And if you remember, our friend Jing Lai had sent us an email when we were asking, you know, how things were going over in China. And she said, well, people wear masks. That's the key. Yet nobody was telling us that at that time.
Yeah, it was really, really very...
The situation is fluid.
Fluid. It's novel. It's
fluid.
New.
Anyway, Fauci, how much do you think he makes per year? Now, he is a federal employee.
Okay. That limits it in some cases. I'm going to say that Dr. Fauci makes $375,000 a year.
Higher.
Oh, no.
All right.
I listened to this one.
Cool it, Grant.
Sorry. I was at 275 and I was thinking that's high.
Oh no. Man. Let's go.
Okay, now you got to go lower. Too high.
415.
No, very close. Very. I'm going to give you 415. Because it's $417,608 a year. That's what he made last year.
Close.
He is the highest paid federal employee in the entire country.
Really?
More than the president
who makes $295,000 a year.
Nope.
$275,000.
$400,000, right?
Yep.
I think it's $400,000.
It's $400,000. Okay. And the vice president who gets?
$275,000.
Lower.
$250,000.
Two?
Lower. Nope, higher.
$225,000.
A little bit higher.
$235,000.
Hey.
That's what I said.
$235,000.
That's what he said.
Now, this is funny to me because he did an interview Fauci back in August with Matthew McConaughey, and Matthew asked Dr. Fauci if he had millions of dollars invested in like COVID vaccines, and he said, Matthew, I got zero. I'm a government worker. I have government salary.
Okay. Easy, Tony.
There, Fauci.
Easy, Tony. If you're making, $435?
$417.
You've got a little money in your 401k to throw at some vaccines.
Dr. Fauci's colleague, Dr. Deborah Birx, makes $305,972. That also tops the vice presidential salary. But they also get free housing.
The vice president does.
The president. Yeah. Senators and members of the House of Representatives make about $174,000. Nancy Pelosi made $223,500 this year. John Roberts, the Supreme Court Chief Justice.
Yes.
$270,000.
It's a lot, but I'm glad to see that they're taking care of the guy that's in charge of,
keeping us safe or giving us information.
That's just a lot of money. Wow.
A four-star military general pulls down $268. It is, but it, is it?
All right, how about this?
Think of the... I'm sorry, Steve. I was just going to say, think of the education, the service, the hour. I just feels like appropriate.
Listen, if we're okay with the last guy getting signed on any NFL team making the same amount as Fauci...
Right.
We're good.
Yeah.
We're good.
Exactly.
Now, I get it, though. It's all about how much money your industry is making. Nancy Pelosi, I see if you want to book her for a speaking engagement.
Ooh, what's this?
There's a range, and the range is between $75,000 and
$150,000. Whoa.
So if you think any of those government employees, John Roberts, whatever, if you think they're making the amount that you said, girl, you cray.
Yeah. Okay, so let's just say she does one speaking engagement and she pulls in $80,000. I wonder if that is included or if that's just the salary.
Oh gosh, no, that's not her government salary.
Oh, so they get that on top. Okay,
that's
so
like side work or a side job at a
nice.
Yeah,
but I'm sure she's not getting paid in cash for that side job. No, that's crazy. $150,000. A lot of these presidents, don't they make a lot of money after their
tours
and speeches and
they
can just bring in dough that way, right?
It's the last job you'll ever need. Yeah, and you're on a you get a like a not a pension, maybe it is a pension. You're taken care of.
You're
paid the rest of your life.
I believe there is a pension.
After leaving.
And then you get health insurance and all that other
Secret Service and whatnot. Like the Secret Service follows you around and you get a travel allowance from what I read from somewhere too.
There's I'm sorry, Grant.
You're good, buddy. Good.
Former presidents receive a pension equal to the pay that the head of an executive department would be paid, $219,000 per year. Wow. And that it begins immediately after their departure. And that's on, that's a base level. That's just fun money because the book deals and that you want to... speaking engagement. Let's see here. Hang on. Let me see.
Yeah, what's Barack?
See how much like Barack or Clinton.
I'm gonna see if I can.
I don't know if Bush does any.
Speaking fees for former presidents. Okay, stand by here. I am on.
Al Gore was doing a lot of stuff.
Bill Clinton, $750,000. This on ThoughtCo.com.
Wait, what? $150,000
in a year or a speech?
No. That's per speaking engagement. Oh.
Are you kidding me?
Well, okay. He gives dozens of speeches a year. Each brings in between $250 and $500 per engagement. He also earned $750,000 for a single speech in Hong Kong in 2011. So that's his top.
That's
the range is
$250
to $500.
And it better be an hour long.
Former President George W. Bush.
What's he getting?
$100,000 to $175,000 per speech. Barack Obama, $400,000 per speech.
Holy crap!
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Wow.
Almost anybody in public office is doing great.
Yeah.
They're doing fine.
Let's play a game.
Not every public office, some. Okay, the game is nothing to do with politics. 651-641-1071. Call now. Bet on me, bet on Donna. If you bet right, you win a prize. Game time next.
Time to go to college.
It's time to attend the College of Pop Culture Knowledge.
It's like quiz ball.
Three trivia questions to find out who's smarter. Donna.
Donna's a smart one.
Or Steve.
His brain ain't right, but it's fun.
And here's your host, I am Grant.
I want to see how smart you are.
We still need a caller, so if you don't mind, there we go, picking up that phone.
All right, we'll talk amongst ourselves while you grab that line. Oh, hey. Abrupt music ending. Hi, Steve. How are you?
Oh, great, Donna. Why?
I don't know. I just thought I would make conversation. I really want to win today.
It's the thing. People are doing it. Sorry, that was bad small talk.
Yeah. Do you? Are you winning by two?
I think I'm winning by two.
Yes.
And I was down by two at one point, I think, last week. I think I'm on a four-game winning streak. I think that Big Mo is on my side. I would love it. Let me just say, I would love it if a caller would partner with me.
Oh, sure.
I would love that. I'm just saying. I would really like the help. So we could put our foot on Donna's throat. Here we go!
All right, well, we do have our caller, and I quickly just got them on the air, so I didn't catch your name. What's your first name again? Hello, caller.
Hi there, you're on Donna and Steve. Who's this?
Oh, this is Linda, but I can barely hear you.
Oh, no.
Oh,
Linda.
Well, Linda, don't start the call by complaining. Oh, my goodness. Okay, we'll talk nice and loud. Make sure you keep your radio turned down. Grant will describe the rules.
Yeah, so Linda, basically, you can pick whoever you want to play with today. Today's topic. Now, today's topic is iconic Super Bowl commercials / brands. So think of that. And if you want to play with Donna or Steve, and as Steve said earlier, he's on a 4-game win streak. He's up 9-7.
Come on. Come on, Linda.
And Linda, who would you like to play with? Donna or Steve?
Yeah, guys, I can't hear you.
Oh, no.
Iconic, and I can't hear anything.
Linda.
Well, I'm going to grab the other caller real quick. Thank you, Linda.
Bye, Linda.
Call
bye.
Us okay,
yeah,
bye.
Try again tomorrow. We love you.
Linda, that's going great.
Linda, listen.
My favorite.
Oh, Lord. All right. Don't worry. We've got a lifeline. A lot of people have wondered why we still haven't received an award, the Donna and Steve Show.
We still need it.
It's mostly because of you.
Yeah.
Donna.
Just kidding.
You guys want to do your tip right now, maybe, and then we'll get our caller here?
Yeah, let's go tipsy for a second. Right, oh, can I give you a Costco tip that I just got from someone on Instagram? We were talking about Costco earlier, right, Donna?
Yes, we were, Steve.
And a Costco employee reached out to me on Instagram and said, if the item is marked whatever the decimal is, 0.97, 797, or 3497, the 97 denotes that it's on clearance. And there's also a little star up in the right-hand corner that lets you know that they are about to be out of stock of this, that it is on the way out and they're bringing something new in, so now is the time to buy.
Okay. Good tip.
Whatever.
Thanks, Steve, for sharing that. All right. Now, I am Grant.
Yes, we do have a player on the phone here. How you doing today?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. And you are from West St. Paul, correct?
Correct.
And who am I
speaking to? We say pay!
Who am I speaking to today?
That's right. What was it?
Who am I speaking to today?
Melissa.
Melissa. Thank you, Melissa. I apologize. I know you did tell me that a second ago, but I got distracted. All right. So, Melissa, now we'll redo this one more time. Would you like to play with Donna or Steve? Steve is on a 4-game win streak. He's up 9-7. And the topic for today is iconic Super Bowl commercials.
I have to go with Steve.
That's all my right. lady.
Okay.
That's
bye.
My boo-boo
love
bear.
Love you, Donna.
Love you, too. Guys. I get it. No hard feelings.
That is my boo-boo bear.
All right. So, Melissa, what I'm going to have you do is, while Steve answers the questions, just wait silently for us. And then what we'll do is we'll come back and we'll check with you to see if you can see if any of his answers need a fix or any help with any of his answers. Okay?
Sounds good.
All right, Melissa, here we go. Steve, you know how this works.
Let's do it.
This product started their campaign called You're Not You When You're Hungry during the 2010 Super Bowl. This ad featured Betty White playing a pickup football game with a group of young men. Betty eats this product and transforms herself into player they need to win the game. What is that product?
Snickers.
All right. This company unveiled its Super Bowl ad in which the mascot sacrifices his own life to save his commercial co-stars. The ad sparked outrage from the public as it was put on pause in light of Kobe Bryant's shocking death.
Oh gosh, this is Mr. Peanut from Planters Peanuts.
And this car company's funny Super Bowl ad was assembled by Boston celebrities John Krasinski. Rachel Dratch, Chris Evans, and David Ortiz to promote the SmartPak feature. What was that car
Ford.
Company?
Ford.
Ford. Okay.
I'm going to go with Ford.
Melissa, would you like to help him out with any of these?
Nope. I think they sound good.
All right.
I'm a little nervous about the Ford one, but let's, if we don't have a better go, we'll go with that.
All right.
All right, go get Donna. Melly, what are you up to today? What's coming up next for you?
Just heading back home to start working.
Okay, it sounds like you have your turn signal on.
This is like when the jury comes back early.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, Donna.
Hi.
We, the jury, find the defendant, Orenthal James Simpson. Remember that?
Yeah, I sure do.
All right, Donna, you ready to go?
Yep.
Okay. I'm going to put the music on lightly for you right now, and we'll go right after this question.
Oh, we have the soft gloves for Donna Valentine.
This product started their campaign called You're Not Hungry, or You're Not You When You're Hungry during the 2010 Super Bowl ad. This ad featured Betty White playing...
Snickers.
All right. This company unveiled a Super Bowl ad in which its mascot sacrifices his own life to save his commercial co-stars' lives.
Oh!
This ad sparked outrage from the public as it was put on pause in light of Kobe Bryant's shocking death.
That's Mr. Peanut.
And this car company's funny Super Bowl ad assembled Boston celebrities John Krasinski, Rachel Dratch, Chris Evans, and David Ortiz to promote their new SmartPak feature. Name that car company.
I can't remember the car company. SmartPak. BMW.
All right. We are going to go into this one, guys. Tied. You both got the first two right with Snickers and Planters Peanuts, Mr. Peanuts. The last one was Hyundai.
Hyundai.
Yes. So, all right. Melissa, you ready to go?
Yep.
We've got an audio clue here. As soon as you know the company that put out this ad, say the company's name, okay?
Melissa, you can yell this out, okay? So,
okay.
All right, you guys. Here we go.
Doritos.
Budweiser.
Oh, shoot. Go.
It is Budweiser.
Yeah.
Nice job, Melissa. So you got yourself a nice My Talk t-shirt.
Way to go, Melissa.
Awesome. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, you can thank me.
Love you, Donna. Thank you.
I love you, Melissa. Have a wonderful day. Enjoy your t-shirt.
All right.
How would you say that game went overall, beginning to end?
Not very well.
Especially at the beginning.
But from beginning to end, from the start of that segment, I wish we could just take that all back.
We had whiny Linda who called and said, I can't hear you guys.
Linda, listen.
Oh, Lord in heaven. Well, it did feel good to win.
And
I'm up 10 to 7, and I'm really hoping that the tide has Donna turned. You're the aunt at the game night who, when you put your kids to bed later, you'd be like, and just so you know, we do not conduct ourselves how Aunt Donna did at the end of that game, okay? Okay. All right. Oh, I work with a Nimrod.
Nimrod, that's Nimrod. Good. I haven't heard that in a long time.
Oh, geez.
Anyway, I got stuff to share.
Time for a tip.
Woo! Everybody on the show getting tipsy.
Clap it, clap it, clap it, clap it, clap it, clap it.
Everybody on the show getting tipsy. Everybody on the show getting tipsy.
Bam, be damn, be.
Now, how many of these little quick hitting tips are we going to get?
Bam, bam. What time is it?
39.
I think I'll give you 3 for sure.
Alrighty, and I'll hit you with a transition chord for each one, starting the key.
Okay. These are all makeup tips. Okay. Mm. To make your mascara last longer, add a little saline solution. Because over time, mascara, you know, dries out, can become clumpy. And that's why it's recommended just to add a few drops of saline to the product. It adds moisture to the formula, creating a cleaner finish. Next up, let's see. When you're putting on eyeliner, here's a good tip.
Love eyeliner.
Me too.
Makes the eyes pop.
Really does. Rest your elbow on a counter when applying.
Good idea.
Right? Because then it's stationary and you don't have any jittery, you know, crazy fingers.
Yes.
The eyeliner that goes on the upper lid is they're saying, let's see, you know, bottom eyeliner is easy, right?
Yes.
But the upper lid is different because it's nearly impossible to keep your hand perfectly still. So just try doing that.
I think that that's a good tip. And I think some of us, I have a very unsteady hand, could have never been a surgeon, suck at the game operation, very shaky hand.
Mm.
And so this is good.
Okay. When you are cleaning your brushes, and yes, you should, do so by using a little baby shampoo and tea tree oil.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you don't have to waste money on a cleaner for them like I did. Just get a little...
Infomercial?
Just mix those two together and just, you know, dip them and, you know, make sure you clean the bristles and then let them air dry until the next morning. Okay? That's all I'm going to give you for today. When we come back, we got some entertainment news to share.
Oh, yeah, girl, you ain't lying. Listen, I finished another season. Let me do it again. Mm-hmm. I finished another season of a show that I am just digging last night. And good golly, Miss Molly, it had a moment where both my wife and I almost simultaneously said, whoa.
Really?
Yeah. We'll dig into that and figure out what show Donna's watching.
Just don't worry about
that it. That she says she could watch forever.
It's a great show.
In eternity. Would they play it in heaven? Would they play it in hell? We don't know. We'll let Donna talk about it when we come back on Donna and Steve.
Donna and Steve on My Talk 107.1. Everything entertainment, including Cobra Kai, the hey, show Donna, that Steve's been watching. Thanks for, like, actually finishing something. Ew, David.
I finished Ted Lasso. Loved it. Then I got started on Cobra Kai. We got through episode 20 last night, which is the end of season 2. I didn't even know that we were that far along.
Oh, you finished season 2?
Girl.
Girl.
You ain't lying.
You lie. I don't believe
not
that.
Not improvise, not your instruction.
That's okay.
No. We finished season 2 last night. Next up, season 3. And here's the funny thing. I had and it spun a couple questions in my mind, which I'll ask in a moment. But I had a friend say, wait until you see the season finale in season 2 and text me right after. I finished 2 later, or else I would have texted him. But it was... He said, there will be like a holy bleep moment. Sure enough, we're watching it, not even realizing that we're watching this season finale. We just got lost in the episodes. Because had I known, I would have been waiting for like, okay, what's the moment that he was talking about?
Yeah, that's probably better it happened like this.
I think it is, because then they have fight scenes in Cobra Kai, of course. I'm not spoiling anything there. There's a big epic fight scene at the end of season 2. And there is a moment that both Lou and I were like, whoa, oh boy.
Was it dark?
Not going to say anything. Grant is also watching the show and is midway through season 2.
Yes.
Aren't you, Grant?
Yes.
Grant heard me raving about it and then tore through it.
This weekend.
Called his parents down in Florida. They got through a season in a day, in a sitting.
Yeah. The whole first season on Saturday, they went through the whole thing in one day.
And I got to tell you, the lead character, who is Johnny Lawrence, I don't know the name of the actor who plays him. He is the original actor who played Johnny, who is Daniel's son's arch nemesis in Karate Kid. I haven't seen him, to my knowledge, in a single thing since then. And then he shows back up in Cobra Kai. I'm sure I'm wrong.
Yeah, I remember this guy.
Yes, and he shows back up as Johnny Lawrence again. I don't know if he's done any acting in between them, but he... plays this character so perfectly. It's just really, really great. And so it's been a lot of fun to watch. And now season 3 starts, and I hear that people love season 3.
Yes.
So I'm really pumped. And here's the question that it spun for me. How do writers of shows really always have the end in mind? And I think that in the case of Cobra Kai, at least through 2 seasons, it seems like they do. It seems like here is where the story and the characters start. Here is where the stories and the characters will end. And everything in the middle is where it's fluid and we determine how we want to get from that point A to that point B. But even, you know, midway through season 1, I'm thinking, oh, I bet you this is going to happen. And then it doesn't happen and it goes in a different direction. Then at the end of season 1, I say, oh, I bet this is going to happen. Then a few episodes, I keep guessing wrong, more or less, in terms of the arc of these characters.
Mm-hmm.
And it's nice because they don't do the totally typical thing that you would imagine they would do. They take some of these little fresh turns that leave you interested. Because just when you think, oh, this is okay, you feel like you can sniff it out.
Right.
And then they make a left turn and you're like, oh.
It deals with growing, right? Like, I feel like as these characters grow, you think they're going to grow to where you expect them to be at. And then all of a sudden, just a little notch to the left, like you said, or a little notch.
Two steps forward, one step back in many cases.
Yes.
It's really interesting. And I also will say, it's reminding me of when I used to watch Rocky as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime we watched Rocky, and my dad would sometimes put on, if we were going to watch 2 or 3, he would say it's a rocky night in Pittsburgh, because there was a Mike Lang, a famous Pittsburgh Penguins broadcaster, would always say it's a hockey night in Pittsburgh. So he would say, "Boys, it's a rocky night in Pittsburgh." And then we knew we were watching Rocky. We'd get popcorn. We'd get all pumped about it. And then invariably afterward, my brothers and I would want to go and do push-ups, sit-ups, lift weights. We wanted to be like Rocky.
Aw, that's so cute.
Well, I just got to tell you, not as cute now, but I have real vibes of, I have long wanted to get one of those Bob punching bags, you know, where it's the punching dummy. It looks like the guy.
Yes, I love that. That's my favorite workout thing.
Really want to buy one of those. I wanted to buy one 8 years ago. And now I'm watching this and I'm like, well, honey, I will be opening an informal dojo, and it will be in the garage, and I will teach the children self-defense, and we will let our aggression out on Bob.
What's a dojo?
Oh.
Hey.
Oh, Donna.
What a question.
You should start Cobra Kai. It's a place where they would train karate.
Gotcha. Did you try karate? Because this was kind of big when we were kids. Did you do it? I don't remember if you ever saying you did or not, Steve. Did you ever try?
No, I never did karate, okay. Although thank you for recognizing that I am lethal. I have taken, it was somewhere between 2 and 4 weeks of Brazilian jiu-jitsu. And cool. To my knowledge, I still have a gi, which is the uniform, the robe pajama thing that you wear.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking one of these nights when my wife and I watch it, I'm thinking of just sneaking into my gi so that when she comes down from putting Dev down or something, I'll just be in the living room wearing my gi. Say, like, what do you want to watch? Donna, come on.
All right.
I'm going to get you a gi. You'll start laughing.
All right.
it's a good show.
To your dojo?
Yes. I'd like to see how you punch.
Oh, I can punch.
Okay.
Don't worry about it. I, on the other hand, am watching Pit Bulls and Parolees. It's my go-to, and I could watch this show all day long. I love it so much.
What do you love about it, for those who haven't heard you mention this?
So, they're really good at storytelling. The producers and the editors and the directing, it's just really, really well done. And I was thinking about that last night. I was like, what is it that I love so much about this show that you can't get on any, like, Animal Planet, you know, programming? Right. It's just a very interesting thing. It's about one particular place. And it's a rescue, an animal rescue, a dog rescue. And they try to get these dogs adopted out. But they also catch the dogs on the street. They bring them for vetting, and you see the journey of one particular animal and watch him from living on the streets and being a matted mess to having heartworm and fleas. And then you see this beautiful flower blossom, and it's just the journey. It's just a really sweet story. That's all. I don't know. I love animals.
No. Thank you.
And also, you know, it's really hard for people who've been incarcerated to find work. And this woman, this Tia Maria Torres, gives them work.
Yeah.
You know, and trusts in them and tries to help them get acclimated back into the real world by taking care of these dogs at these pet sanctuaries.
That's what I love about her, is her trust that she has in the dogs and in humans and everything. It's very pleasant to see.
Oh, so do I have a fellow watcher?
I have watched that show.
Yes. Grant's watching anything that we watch right now. We've got him in the early stage. He still likes us.
Right.
This is great. See if we can get him to watch next. Hey, yeah. Grant's got a dirt alert coming up in just a couple minutes.
That I do.
And then we'll talk Super Bowl.
Yippee! Woo!